We finally got to Hill 30, and it was a mess there. There were so many wounded along the ditches. They had them head to toe. Colonel Shanley was in charge, and I believe it was Major Warren.
Major Warren, yeah.
Took over command of our battalion. Because Colonel Batchelor...
He got shot through the eyes.
Hmm.
They say they found him with the binoculars. He must have had his binoculars, and the bullet went right through his head.
Hmm.
The glint from the binoculars, the sun must have reflected on it, and the German just boom right into it. Colonel Batchelor.
Was there anything about officers being... I know the tankers were told to, like, cover up their bars.
Yeah. You knew them as officers, that was it.
But
some
I mean,
of them had the stripe on the back of their helmet.
But were there snipers would pick out the officers?
Very seldom, because, you see, we even had General Gavin during the Bulge. We were dug in on the edge of a woods. Our Germans are maybe 400 yards away, 500 yards away in the brush in the other woods.
Uh-huh.
Who the hell walks out in front of the General Gavin with his rifle over his head and walk right in front? I guess he knew something we didn't know. Or maybe they knew they couldn't shoot him or something. Or maybe he thought he had a halo around him.
Okay.
No, but that officers were picked out, you know, if they were known to be officers. But there's no officer going to flaunt himself as an officer.
Uh-huh. I hope. Sure.
In the rear, yeah. You know, back in battalion, the regiment and army, they're polished up. Everybody better know who they are. But the front line, they're just another Joe like me and you. Even the lieutenants and the captains, you don't know one from the other except you know them by sight.
Uh-huh.
And you know who your captain is.
I found some of the men from my company, Sergeants James Smith.
Jim Smith. He became a platoon sergeant later, and then he became, at the end of the war, he stayed in. After about 20 years, he retired, then he went back in again. And he said the whole army changed. He says he was so disgusted with the army, because of the discipline, everything broke down. There wasn't that strict discipline, you know. Where at that point here, even though we were conscripts, soldiers.
Uh-huh.
Yet we were disciplined very quickly, and our unit, I don't know about the other units, we were like the Nazis, in other
uh-huh.
words. We were very highly disciplined. I don't know, something happened later after the war and it just disintegrated. You've seen it, the recruiting places, and the Marines would call their congressmen because they had to walk through the mud and this
mm-hmm.
and that, and then the parents would complain. I don't know if you remember, about 20 years
yeah.
ago, all that stuff that was in there. One Marine died because of that. Jesus, they had enough people in the military. You can't mamby-pamby a soldier. It's got to be made
mm-hmm.
or get them the hell out. Like, what is it, Chrysler?
Uh-huh.
He says you either lead, you get out of the way or something.
Yeah.
You know, in other words, you either lead, you follow, or get the hell out of the way.
Uh-huh. Now, if any of these names are of guys from this area, let me know.
No,
okay.
No.
Okay.
The only one I know was, like I say, DeVries from
uh-huh.
from Wallington.
Okay.
And well, I don't know about Stack whether he's still alive or not.
I'll try to look
him up. I never made contact with anybody, but there are very few from here.
Uh huh.
The one kid, Payet from Patterson, he doing the same thing. His head was taken right off right after we pulled out of in the boat. We pulled back from Bielsaum. I lost him. He had a nice kid, a big husky kid.
I found some of the men from my company, Sergeants James Smith and I believe Jim Kurtz.
Kurtz, yeah. He's from Ozarks down in the
uh-huh.
south. Yeah. Jim Kurtz.
Albert Pachel.
Pachel. Oh, Patchell.
Patchell.
He died. He was killed also. No, he died. No, he was blinded. Patchell
uh-huh.
lost his eyesight Christmas Eve.
Oh, geez.
And never know what happened to him because we pulled out. I lost about 14 men that night, and we were left as rear guard. And it wasn't until years later found out that he was in I don't know some city in Ohio.
Ohio.
Which one?
Ohio.
Yeah, but what city? Anyway, we're having a reunion, so I got him on the phone, and I told him, I says, you know, come to the reunion. Yeah, he was so happy. He came to the reunion, but what had happened, my wife and I drove out there, got there at night, and the same night, we got a call, her father was in the hospital. So I left early in the morning, at 6 in the morning, we packed up and came back. It was more important. Sure. Reunions are again, but her father.
Yeah.
And he came later on, around 10 in the morning, and I never got to see him. The next year he died. He was totally blind. He was one of my sergeants, squad sergeants. Another guy, Machete. He was a mortar sergeant. I never knew who the hell a mortar sergeant, not mortar sergeant, he was on a mortar. He had come in as a replacement, and I never knew who he was. All I knew was when I was ready to pull out, I climbed the hill to where the mortars were, and the mortar was there, and everybody was gone. And I never knew what happened. Then I went along the line, pulled all the men out, and we got around the Germans and finally escaped. And it wasn't until 3 years ago I found out, somebody found out this Machete. He came to the reunion, but I didn't go to New Orleans that year. And he wrote me a letter, what had happened. He says, he was in the foxhole. He says he remembers firing all the mortars. And when they finished firing the mortars, the Germans had broken through in the meantime.
Uh-huh.
He said, next thing I know, I hear him in the hole behind me. He sticks his hands up. He says, I was so embarrassed. He said, I was taken prisoner. Now, this is minutes, maybe a minute, before I got to the top of the hill. If I had got to where my mortar emplacement was, 1 minute earlier, I'd have went right in, I would have been taken prisoner. So they took him prisoner, took him back into the barracks, the Belgian barracks, right, and interrogated him in the dark. This is all going on. And when I got there all those years now, for, what is it, 50-some, 40-some years, I never knew what happened to the mortar. Hmm. They were all taken prisoner. Right? And it wasn't until this guy showed up, now we find out what all happened. The medic was taken prisoner. Hart was shot through the legs. Boyce was killed. Out of all of them, there was about half, almost half of them were killed. The others were taken prisoner. It's in there. You can read it right up there. That's that top letter.
Oh, okay.
That's General Gavin. He was going to come to the reunion. He couldn't make it, so he wrote the letter. And he remembers the three platoons that were left behind Christmas Eve. Got to read it. It's very interesting.
Okay.
That was my platoon, in the dead center. And Lieutenant Lamb on the right blew out the bridges. It was what Ville-Somme was, what they called the Iron Triangle. Yeah?
Uh-huh.
All the railroad bridges and road bridges were there. And when they decided to pull out, because it was very hard to defend, they left three platoons behind. That was one mine, Lamb, and the other one on the other side of the hill. They pulled back 9 miles to 82nd. They figured Christmas Eve, nobody's going to attack, you know. They're Christians, they're not going to attack. Like hell, they attacked us with full force. 9th SS Panzer Division and the 90th Volksgrenadier Regiment. And where we were. I had 30 men, 31 men, something like that. The other guy had 30. We fought there from 8 o'clock until about 1:30 in the morning, and finally they broke through and got in behind us, and that was it. They had to get the hell out of there. A miracle. A miracle we all got out when I got the 16 men out. But that's another story.
That is, and we'll get to that. Because I really want to get all this down.
Normandy is the only thing that counts here because it'll be a 50th anniversary.
This is 50th anniversary.
What does it all add up to?
The bulge also.
What does it all add up to?
Well, that...
With all the corruption today, with all the crime, with all the degeneracy, the breakdown of our culture, what does all add up to? You know what I mean? I look and it's very sad sometimes. I see kids today. God forbid if we ever had to go against the Asiatics or anything, they're not going to have a chance. First thing they got to do is pump themselves up with drugs. It's a different breed. See, I always say the fortunate part of the Depression was that it toughened the kids, that era of kids from the 20s that were born in the early part, before the 20s, my era and up. These kids were tough. except for naturally, they had a percentage of wealthy, but they were good kids too. They had, but these kids were brought up with, in diversity. They go to school with holes in their shoes, patched up clothes. They didn't have the food like they had, like we have today. They ate to God knows how much pieces. People lived on cornmeal and potatoes and stuff during the Depression. These same kids are the kids that ended up being the tough soldiers that we had. Now, when Korea broke out, then a new breed was going in there. They didn't seem to have the stamina. Then Vietnam, even worse. Unless they pumped themselves with the stuff, they couldn't take it. Couldn't take it mentally or they couldn't take the adversity. They were taken away from their mommy. And they had their car and they had this and that. Now all of a sudden they don't have nothing. Mm. So that's it's very sad, you know, when you look back. And all the guys that died, go back in Holland, I lost one kid there. I put him in for decoration, he got it. He out exposed himself out there. If it wasn't for him, quite a few of us would have been killed. He set the barn on fire. The Germans had gotten into it. And we had nothing but quarter of a mile of slightly inclined go backward, nothing but haystacks. Mm. There's no way to get out of there. And he broke it up. My wife and I were over there in Europe when we went to the cemeteries and I went to find his grave. And we had to leave him there in Weiland. As we pulled out, felt that, you know, his pulse and everything was dead. And I went to the graveyard, Mark Garten graveyard. And I asked the grave registration office, I said, there's a fellow named Ellerbush, supposed to be in the cemetery here.
Ellerbush.
Kid from Kansas. He says, oh, he looked in the book, he says, no, there's no name here. He says, well, he was killed over here. So we're ready to leave and he came out. He says, pardon me, sir, called me and my wife back. He says, there's late entries. Entries. So he went to another office and got the book. He says, here it is. So they built a wall, had the names of all those that were found. Some of them were found buried. And they didn't know who they belonged to, whether they were German or what. Uh-huh. Some were better with the German, and later on they found out it was an American, and there was on the wall.
So that his name was engraved on the wall?
Yeah, on the wall, that's what his remains were. Uh-huh. It made me feel better. See, where all the others are all crossed.
Yeah.